Jenna, why don't you come and join me? So as John says, I'm Sam, I'm the curate here at St. Barnabas, and this is Jenna. She's our youth worker. She's over here at the moment from the States. She's come over with Youth for Christ and is working in all sorts of areas in the life of our church with our children and young people. So we're going to spend a bit of time thinking about this passage from 1 Corinthians 13, this well-known passage. And I'm sure it hasn't escaped your attention. It's almost Valentine's Day. If you've been in any shop in the last kind of 2 months since Christmas finished, you'll have seen big displays of chocolates and candles and things with hearts on it. So it's swirling all around us. So it seemed like a good opportunity for us to think about love and to think about what it means for us as Christians. So Jenna, over to you to begin with.
Okay. Okay, the mic works. Okay, so just like in the video, there's different ways that we can love each other, and there's different ways that we express our love. But when it really comes down to the question, what is love, a lot of us are like those kids in the video, where we kind of fumble around and we go, well, it could be this. It's kind of like this, kind of like that, but it's more than that. And often because that is such a hard question to answer sometimes, we give up too quickly, and we don't spend time to think about that really important question. And our Bible passage today is 1 Corinthians 13, 1-8, and I think the Apostle Paul just paints a beautiful, beautiful picture of love. It's powerful, it's challenging, and are we going to read the passage again or no? Okay, all right. So, but I want you guys to notice something. Paul doesn't just jump right into the definition of love, but in the first three verses, he explains why it's so important. He spends a lot of time talking about how it's so essential and it's so imperative that it far outweighs anything else. All of us have spiritual gifts, and those spiritual gifts are great. And knowledge is a wonderful thing to have, and faith is so inspiring. I can't imagine having a faith that would move a literal mountain. And generosity changes people's lives. When we give generously to someone who is lacking, that really changes things for them. And sacrifice is honorable because a lot of people sacrifice so much so that we can have things that we enjoy and often take for granted. And having a good legacy is a noble pursuit of many of you. You want to leave a good legacy for your kids, and you want to have a life that is full of purpose and full of meaning. But God's word to us says, if we lack love, we have missed the point and the purpose of our lives. So what is love? Paul tells us in the next verses, 4-7, and he says, love is patient and love is kind. And it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it isn't proud, it isn't self-seeking. It always protects, it always trusts, it always believes, it always perseveres, it's eternal. And it's an excellent picture of love. It's not just these warm and fuzzy feelings, but neither is it a sheer act of will of like, I will love this person, and it's just like intellectual. Love is something that involves all of us. It involves our heart, our emotions. It involves our mind and our intellect. It involves our soul and it involves our body. It involves like what we think about different people, how we hold them inside our hearts and inside our minds, and how we treat them with our actions, how we talk about them when they're not with us, but we're with other people and talking about them. So love is hard, but it is something worth fighting for. And someone once told me, I don't really remember who, but if you want to know how well you're doing at loving someone, a good thing to do is to insert your own name into this passage where you read, so wherever it says love in this passage in verses 4-8, you kind of insert your own name. And so for example, I would say, okay, Jenna is patient, Jenna is kind, and so on. And it's so challenging to do that because as you read the passage to yourself and you put yourself in the shoes of love, you're like, you realize how much you need to grow in love. You start to see that. And Sam is actually going to lead us in that very activity. So over to you, Sam.
So what I'd invite you to do, if you've got Bibles in front of you, I'd encourage you to grab them and turn to the page, which is 1089. This is 1 Corinthians 13, 1089. And we're just going to have a few moments in the quiet to read this passage. I'll read it for those who haven't got a Bible in front of them. But I'd encourage you, if you do have a Bible in front of you, to follow along and to do as Jenna's just encouraged us to do. So when I read, love, to hear your name. And to reflect on that as we read. So it's on 1089. It's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts. Love always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And as we sit with that, and we sit with the challenge of that, we need to be careful, don't we? Because the danger of doing an activity like that, where we insert our name into the passage, is that it can make us feel bad, right? It makes me feel bad. Because it's a standard that's impossible to reach. But for me, being able to admit that I'm not perfect is a big part of what it means to me to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. To admit that none of us have got it all together, that get it all right all the time. So we don't have to pretend as we put our names into the passage that it always feels like an easy or a good fit. We can be honest that this passage is a beautiful picture of what true love looks like, but it's still an inspiration and an aspiration for us. It's what we're aiming for. And then what that means is that we're all on a journey with this. We're all seeking to grow, to become more loving, to learn more of what it means to love well. And in the 11:15 service today, we're going to baptize a little baby called Jude. And it's such a beautiful picture, isn't it? Infant baptism of the beginning of the journey. We're reminded that, you know, a baby can't have it all together, right? They're just starting out on the journey of faith, which lasts a lifetime. And for the many of us here who have been baptized and were baptized as infants, we're particularly reminded of that journey that we continue to be on of discipleship, of growing and learning more of what it means to love well. But it's a lifelong path, isn't it? And I'm walking that path just as each of us are. And there's so many challenges, aren't there, from these verses as you read them. One of the things I'm always struck by when I read this passage, quite often read it at funerals and weddings, of course, as well. Verse 5, I always find challenging. Love keeps no record of wrongs. How about that for a challenge? I know that I'm not living up to that one. And I just was thinking about it, reflecting on it, and just thinking how easy it is to be hurt by someone, to be wronged by someone, for your feelings to be hurt by someone, and then to hold on to the anger and the bitterness that comes from that. In my case, what I can easily do is go into a sulk, withdraw into myself, and sulk away at that. And actually, even after the person has said sorry and admitted what they've done, continuing to hold on to that grudge, hold on to that anger. And actually, the step that's even worse than that, which I fall into as well, is beginning to keep a tally, beginning to keep a score. Oh, you've already done that. I'm keeping this record of the wrongs. And you've done that, you did it before, and you've done it again. And then falling into a trap where you think, well, you've done it 3 times before, so I'm expecting you to do it again. not expecting the best of people, but expecting the worst of people because you're keeping this record of wrongs. How about you, Jenna?
Well, when I read that passage, I see a lot of areas where I could grow. And I could grow, honestly, in every single one of those areas. I could be more patient. I could be more kind. But in particular, I've noticed that I tend to be envious of other people sometimes, and their opportunities and their abilities. Not so much their possessions, but like success and things that they have. The things like their success and the recognition that they get, and I kind of want it, and I'm like, I'm happy for them, but I kind of want that for myself, so I'm not really gonna be totally appreciative of this. And sometimes I've also dishonored people just by not treating them the way that I should be treating them. And this can be as minuscule as me getting irritated at my family because I haven't had lunch yet. Or it can be as severe as just not listening to people or not appreciating people or not including someone because I just can't relate to them or I can't communicate with them, so I'm just gonna kind of exclude them. When I was at university, there was this guy at my church named Chris, and he was a loud talker, and he didn't really know he didn't have a lot of social skills. And he only talked about video games, he only talked about things he was interested in, and like, he was just a very hard person to talk to. He never listened to anything that me or my friends were interested in, or anything that we had to say. And if we were all in a group, the conversation, he would try to turn it back onto himself. And I hate to admit that I was not always kind or patient with Chris, as I should have been. I could have loved him better as a friend, but I was so self-seeking, only wanting to hang out with my close friends or talk about things that I wanted to talk about, instead of taking the time to listen to someone who really needed a friend. All that to say that God is still working on me, and he's still working on me so that I can love more like he does each and every day.
Great, thanks, Jenna. So that's just a couple of examples of what it looks like to be on this journey of learning and of growing. And this Bible passage is so helpful, isn't it? As we get this picture of what true love looks like that can inspire us on our journey, on our walk. But this level of perfection can seem out of reach to us, as I've said. But there's good news, isn't there, that we know, friends. Elsewhere in the Bible, we read that God is love, that God is the very definition of love, that God is the creator and the source of all love. So all love comes from God, and every time a loving action is done, something is done motivated by love and kindness and generosity, it points to God, it points to his goodness and his love. So whenever, as Christians, we start talking about the kind of people we'd like to be and the kind of lives that we'd like to live, we always need to start with the truth that's rooted in the Bible, that our God is the loving God. And that our God loves each of us, loves you and loves me, with the kind of love that is described in 1 Corinthians 13. These verses paint a picture of how God loves us. So we don't try and be loving to others in order to earn God's love, but because we've seen how God loves us, and we're trying to respond to that. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we know that we're not perfect, but we know the one who is. So I'm going to read those verses one more time. So if you've got your Bibles open, you might like to look again at page 1089. But this time, rather than putting our own names in, we're going to put God's name in and see how that changes it. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast and is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this time in the year when love is celebrated. And Lord, we know there's so much to rejoice in about love, about romantic love, about love between friends. And Lord, we thank you for all the times that we see love and love that points to you as the source of love. But God, we thank you too that you show us that love is so much more, so much deeper and richer. God, we pray that you would help us to live these lives of love, that we continue to grow in our understanding of what it means to love well and grow as those who live loving others in this way. We thank you for your great love for us. We pray that it would inspire us and that we would be able to share that love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.